Praise God.
Amen.
Now, this blessed afternoon, in this word festival, I'd like to speak on a subject, accessing your inheritance through the word. Accessing your inheritance through the word. Apostle, I salute you and thank you for the privilege once again. Thank you very much. Accessing your inheritance through the word. So we want to know the inheritance we have in Christ so that after that we can pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the reason we need to know and have a strong basis of the word so we can understand our inheritance, so we can know how to possess it or possess all our inheritance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me show you a very wonderful verse concerning prayer that Jesus spoke to us in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. Look at what Jesus said. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise God.
Amen.
Now he said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the English. Now, the word ask is the Greek word iteo. I-T-E-O. Now let me read to you what the Greek says. Now the Greek says, the literal translation says, if ye ask anything according to your rights and privileges, I will do it. So it's not just asking. So you have to know your rights, your privileges in Christ. You have to know what is yours in redemption. What is your entitlement in Christ so you can take it and demand it. Now the word ask here is the word for demand. Whatever you demand, you call it for by authority. Mm-hmm. Whatever you demand according to your rights and privileges, that will I do. So I want us to know the dynamics of our right privileges in Christ so you can demand what is yours. So you need a right and a workable knowledge of your rights and inheritance and privileges so you can possess it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to John 15 verse 7. John 15 verse 7. Now look at what Jesus says. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me, now you are in Christ, so you are abiding in him, and my words abide in you, that's why you are hearing God's word, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me quote again from the Greek. The Greek says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you want, and even if it doesn't exist, I will create it for you. That's the word in Greek. But you see, as God's words abide in you, you wouldn't act outside his will, or you wouldn't act amiss. That's why first he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You ask, you can ask, even if it doesn't exist, it's our created for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's why I want us to understand the dynamics of our inheritance in Christ and how to access our inheritance through the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts 20 verse 32. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So look at how you can have the inheritance. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It is able to build you up and to give you what? Inheritance. I want you to know that we have inheritance in Christ. It encompasses everything, whether your health, whether your wealth, Whether everything, whether the anointing or your joy or your family life, peace, family blessings, all of these are our inheritance in Christ. When Jesus died, he gave us everything. He gave us everything. Now, Jesus died as a testator. You know, a testator. Now, there's a reason why the Bible is called the New Testament. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, you know what a testament is? Now, a testament is a will. You know, your father died. If your father died as a testator and left you inheritance, all the inheritance becomes yours, but you have to know it to access it. Now, the New Testament is very key. When Jesus died, Jesus never died intestate. He died as a testator, leaving us a will. All that was entitled to him as a son of God and as the seed of Abraham, he willed everything to us. So the Bible says that for where a testament is, there must of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all, whereas the testator liveth. Hebrews chapter 9, 16 to 17. So, whereas the testator is alive, you can't have the inheritance. But the moment he dies, the will is passed over to you. So when Jesus died, I'm telling you that everything, all that he has, all the fullness, all the riches, all the seed of Abraham, all the fullness of the earth, all the precious things brought forth by the sun, the precious things put forth by the moon, yes, the blessings of the everlasting hills, yes, and the blessings of the ancient mountains, the bauxite, the gold, the precious things of the earth, everything you can ever think of, Jesus willed it to you. It has become your inheritance.
Amen.
But you have to know it. Because he gave us a good life. You have to know it. You need a knowledge of your rights and privileges in Christ. Now, years ago, something happened in London. There was a guy who died under a bridge. They found this guy dead under a bridge. Actually, he died out of starvation, hunger. Meanwhile, he was a 300 million heir. He was supposed to inherit 300 million, and he never knew it. Out of ignorance, he lived in hunger, deprivation and starvation, and finally died without the knowledge of what was his. So many Christians, they just live without the knowledge of what is theirs. In the year 2000, something happened in Bolivia de la Sierra, Santa Cruz, Bolivia. There was this guy who was an heir to millions of dollars. So the police in Bolivia were looking for him just to hand over his inheritance to him, because the millions belonged to him by inheritance, but he never knew he had any inheritance anywhere. The police searched all over Bolivia. They never saw him. At last, they saw the guy sitting in the bush somewhere. But the guy saw the police van coming. At that time, he had given himself to alcoholism and drugs. So when he saw the van coming, he thought the police were after his life. But they were looking for him to hand over his inheritance. The instant he saw the van, he ran for his life, never to be seen until this day. But they were just looking for him to give him his inheritance. God is not looking for you to kill you. God is looking for you to adopt you.
Amen.
Because your inheritance have already been purchased, yes, by the blood of the eternal, the efficacy of the eternal blood of Jesus. It has been purchased. It is yours. Now, centuries ago, there was a British preacher by name Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he had what was called a Metropolitan Tabernacle, a very big church. And he built what was called almhouses for the poor. So those who had no place to stay, he just housed them at the church facility. So occasionally he'll go around to visit the church members and the widows and those who were poor. And this time he entered into the house of this poor woman and saw something on the wall, something that had been framed. So he asked the woman, "Whose is this?" The woman said, "It's mine. I said this man who was very wealthy, he had no family, and when he was dying, he called me and appreciated me and wrote his name on the paper and gave it to me and died. So the best I could do was to frame the paper. So anytime I miss him, I just look at what I've framed, and I just love him for the good things he did for us." The pastor said, can I have it? Can I bring it to you later? It was actually a check. Everything he had in his account, he had willed it to the woman. But she wasn't educated, so she never knew it was money. So when the pastor got to the bank, they said, we have been waiting for years for the owner to come and claim all of this money in the bank. The woman was ignorant, in poverty, but all things were hers. It doesn't matter what you are going through. I came to say all things are yours.
Amen.
Because you are the seed of Abraham. All things are yours. The Bible says, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 verse 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Bible cannot lie. Do you know what it means to be joint heir with Christ? Joint heir. It's like saying joint signatory to an account. Now, in those days, if two people were joint heirs, the word is sun kleronomos. What it meant is that one person cannot have his inheritance without the consent of the other. Now, joint heirs means equal heirs. Now, we and Christ are equal heirs. The Bible never said we are co-heirs. He said equal heirs. Now, co-heirs means that Christ can have 70% and I can have 30%. That's co-heirship. It means he can have 60% and I can have 40%. But equal heirs means he has 100% and I have 100%. Hallelujah. Amen. He made us joint heirs. So much that he could not have his inheritance without us. Even for God to exalt Christ, we had to be there. For God to exalt Jesus, we had to be there because we are joint heirs. And has raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. God couldn't even exalt Christ without the church. That is why he raised us up together and made us enthroned together in heavenly places in Christ. So what is Christ is yours. The Bible says all things are yours. All things are yours. But you can live life in sorrow, in worry, in anxiety, in stress, in poverty, ill health, without joy. But this is the reason Jesus died for you. The reason is that we have learned to access our inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read first from King James. King James Version. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. How many things? Not some things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know what the Bible says? All things that pertain to life and two things. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. Life is zoe. Godliness is eusebias. Life is a generic term for every kind of life. Whether it is health, or it is peace, or it is prosperity, or it is well-being, or wholeness, or family life, or good relationship, all is encompassed in the word life here, in the word zoe, because the term is generic. So, whatever you ever need in life to make your life more easier or better, it's already given unto you. As I'm speaking to you, you can think in your head, if I get this and this and this and that, my life will be better, true or false. Whatever you can think about has already been given. God foresaw every need of yours in advance and provided it in Christ when he died for you. And godliness is used as you sabbath, which means good worship. Anything that will help you to worship God and to live for him has already been provided. Whether it is spiritual gifts, whether it is the fruit of the spirit or empowerment or endowment, whatever you need to live the good life is already supplied. Is already given. But why don't we see it? Look at the Bible says, through the knowledge. It is given, but you have to access all of these through what? The knowledge of him that has called us to glory and excellence. The word virtue is excellence. We have been called to live an excellent life. The quality of life that will cause you to stand out among others. Excellent life. It is through the knowledge. So everything is given. Take me to the Passion Translation. The Passion. Let me read it for you. What it says. Now look at what it says. Everything we could ever need in life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Can you imagine? Everything you'll ever need for life. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. You see, so everything is provided. But you have to know how to act. Don't be like the millionaire who was ignorant of what he had. The New Testament is his will for us, but can you interpret the will? I've come to help interpret the will for you.
Amen.
To show you what you already have in Christ.
Amen.
So that when you are praying, you can pray with boldness and say, this is mine. Roba, Kalaba, Sanda. It's mine. Now back to King James. King James says that everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness has been given to us. The King James, please. Through the knowledge of him who has called us. The knowledge. Now the word knowledge here is a Greek word epignosis. You see, epignosis. It's compounded of two words, epi and gnosis. Now gnosis is the word for knowledge, where we get the word gnostics. You see, gnosis is one who is expert in knowledge. But the Greek word here is not gnosis, it is epignosis. Now in the Greek, when you add epi to gnosis, epi is a preposition which is an intensifier. It intensifies it. So it's not just any knowledge about Christ. Epignosis means precise knowledge, exact knowledge, accurate knowledge, complete knowledge of Christ and of the Word. So it's not any kind of, it's not anyone we hear on radio is hearing the right people. Yeah? It's not everyone you will hear that will bring you to your inheritance. But hearing the right people. Those who give you the accurate, exact, complete, precise knowledge, epignosis, then you know your inheritance in Christ. And you live all your life laughing through life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are in this ministry, may you live all your life laughing through life.
I receive.
Because the Lord has done it.
I receive.
He has done it. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's see how to access some of the inheritance the Lord gave us in Christ. Let's see some of them. Number one, health. 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 Health is your inheritance. Health is your inheritance. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Now this is what the word of God does. I want to show you what happens when you open the Bible morning by morning to read. Now this morning I showed you it's the breath of God. But there's something that happens when you read the Bible. There's an impartation of divine health. The Bible says that the word of God, it pierces and penetrates the soul and the spirit, that is spiritual. But then it says the joints and the marrow, that is physical. It pierces the joints and the marrow. Let me ask you a question. Do you have blood in your system?
Yes.
Of course. The blood you have in your system, where is it manufactured from? Where is it produced from? The marrow. The marrow in the joint, it is the source of your blood. All your red blood cells are produced by the marrow within the joint. The joint holds all the bones, the skeletons together. But the marrow is what produces the blood in your body. All the red blood cells and all the blood cells in your system are produced by the marrow. And the Bible says that the very spot or the very place where your blood is manufactured, the word of God penetrates, influences, and pierces. You know what it means? The word of God purifies your blood. Amen. It purifies your blood. It has a Amen. Purifying ability.
Amen.
As you give yourself to the word, your blood is purified.
Yes.
Because the word enters you. The word just penetrates. The word just enters your marrow and your bone. And if your blood is defiled, it cleanses your blood, purifies your blood, energizes your blood, cleans your blood. If there's any virus in your blood, any germ in your blood, any infirmity in your blood, every kind of disease in your blood, it has a supernatural ability to cleanse and to remove and to purify and to make whole what is within you. This is the potent and the inherent ability of the word of God.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, your blood is being purified. As you read into your heart, something is happening to your very framework. It's being purified. Now, many centuries ago, in the early 1900s, there was this American preacher by name John G. Lake was so powerful. He was a missionary to South Africa. And in those days, there was a plague called the bubonic plague, like the Ebola. And a lot of people died, even a lot of missionaries died. It came by contact. You can't touch the one who had that virus. It will just transfer to you. But John G. Lake and his two friends were burying the dead, those who had the bubonic plague. And nothing happened to them. They were just touching the foam. Nothing happened to them. And he called them and he said, "What is the secret?" Now he said, "Fear attracts viruses, but faith repels the viruses." Now when he went back to America, they took him to the science lab and they took a sample of his blood because they realized that the guy was unusual. They took a sample of his blood in the lab and they put powerful germs and powerful viruses in his blood. And under the microscope, something happened. The instant the viruses touches the blood, his blood emits powerful light from within and destroy all the germs and the viruses.
Wow.
And he said the secret was the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you take in the word is cleansing your blood.
I receive.
It's purifying your blood.
I receive. I receive.
My son, give attention to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Let them not depart from thine eyes. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4 verse 22. They are life. He's talking about the word of God. They are life to those that find them. And health to all their flesh. Now the word health is the word for medicine in Hebrew. Life to those who find them, and medicine to all their flesh. The Hebrew says to every part of their bodies. The word of God is medicine to every part of your body. Oh, maramatosete. Something happens. Jonathan Edwards says that when I sit on the word long enough, something happens to my physical frame. The word of God is able to renew your youth. And you look younger every day. The word of God is able to retard decay and corruption in your body. It reverses the law of sin and death in your body. You look fresh every day. You look young every day.
Yes.
When Sarah was 90 years of age, the king of Egypt, the Abimelech, they desired her for her harem to become one of his wives. But she was 90 years of age because she had renewal of youth. Even at age 90, the king desired her because of her beauty. May you be 120 years and you still look like 50 years. You are 60, but you look like 30. The word of God has rejuvenating powers, rejuvenating abilities. It makes you young, it heals you, it cleanses you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the what? The word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate what, day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in what? Due season. His leaf also shall not wither. Now, leaf in the Bible is a biblical symbolism of health. When the Bible says his leaf shall not wither, it's his health will not decay. His health will not decline. His health will not degenerate. Yeah. Because in Revelation 22 verse 2, the leaves of the tree of life was for the healing of the nations. So leaves speaks of health. So as you meditate on the word, something happens to you. Your strength is rejuvenated. As your days are, so shall your strength be because of the word.
Amen.
Because of the word. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this year, give yourself to the word. You look stronger every day, fresher every day, healthier. You go to the hospital every month before you realize it stopped. Yeah, because health becomes your portion every day. Praise God.
Amen.
So say, health is my inheritance.
It's my inheritance.
Say, divine healing is mine.
Divine healing is mine.
Every sickness of yours was put on Christ when he died. So it cannot be in places. If it was on Christ, it cannot be on you. Because by his stripes you were healed. I want you to now begin to declare right now, as we're sitting down, declare health in your body. In the name of, declare health. Health from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You will not be sick. You will not be weak. You will not be frail. Health is your portion. Your blood is purified. Your blood is cleansed. Your memory, your brain, every part of your being, receive divine life, divine health, divine ability, divine strength. Rabba, toba, rabba, kanda. Rabba, shtiba, rabba, kanda. Rebekende, kabarabanda. Shamba, 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 shamba. You will not be weak. We curse weaknesses. We curse fatigue. We curse stress. We curse all sorts of sicknesses from your head to your feet. Even right now, I see divine healing. I see the healing of God will sweep across the room. Something is happening to your body. Rama, shambara, akta, basanda. I see internal diseases are healed. Rama, shambara, basanda, batayi. I see infirmities in your body be taken away. Rabatamba Iabasamba Isus Ibalata Ibata. From now, what you couldn't do, you are doing those things again. Rabashamba Sati Ibare Basati Ibatai Isabata. I see cancerous cells dying. Rebasha. I see tumors dying. I see migraines dying. Ramashamba Sati Ikaria Somalaya. I see healing like waves. Spirit healings like waves. Healings like waves. Healings like waves. Healings like waves. Your strength is multiplied. Rati, kubarati, kumalati, subalati, kamalati. Something is happening to you. I see your womb is blessed. Your womb is blessed. Yara sande, your blood circulatory system. Ora sata, your blood vessels, your tissues. Reyama sanda, sanda, sanda. Every bone, every marrow, every head. Aramasai, kamala sande, ibasata. Health, health, and healing. Rama Sende, Koraba Kalabasande, Leke, Kolata, Komanda, Subalanda. It is done. I see it happening. It is done. It is done. Angels are on assignment. Angels are on assignment. Rama Sete, thank you, Jesus.
Asakato Radida Sata, Aseko Pateleteya.
Can you please be seated? Now, the God's word is so powerful that before the Bible said it penetrates the joints and the marrow, the Bible speaks of the dividing asunder of the spirit and the soul. That's what it does in Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit and the soul. You know what it means? You see, sometimes you cannot tell. You want to make a decision in life, but you cannot tell whether what you are hearing is from God or from yourself. You are on the crossroad. What I'm hearing, is it me or God? And you are divided. Am I supposed to marry this brother or not? Am I supposed to accept that proposal or not? Am I supposed to travel outside the country to pursue my master's degree or not? That we are always making decisions, but sometimes we can't tell. Is this from God or from me? This is the answer. The word of God separates the spirit from the soul. Now, the spirit, your spirit is where the Holy Ghost is. Because he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You are born again. It's your spirit which is born again. And the Holy Spirit is joined to your spirit. So he speaks from your spirit. God speaks from your spirit. But your soul is your unredeemed part. When you got born again, your soul wasn't born again. So your humanity is in your soul. Hallelujah. So your soul is what comes from you. Your own inclinations and proclivations and thoughts and dispositions. But your spirit carries the message of the Holy Ghost to you. So sometimes you cannot tell. So for a long time, what is God saying? What is God saying? What is God saying? Meanwhile, God is speaking to you all the time. The reason why you are not able to discern the voice of God is because you have not given the word of God its primary place in your heart. You have not given the word of God its full attention. Because we are told that the word of God is able to penetrate and pierce and separate the spirit for you to know what is coming from God, and the soul for you to know what is coming from you. So you can tell that this is not me, this is God. Then you can tell this is me, but not God. How can you make such distinctions? There is something called the conscience. The conscience is the voice of your heart. You see, you discern God's voice through your conscience. In Romans 9:1, Apostle Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So your conscience bears you witness in the Holy Ghost. But you see, your conscience is necessary to discern God's voice. Are you here with me? But the conscience is a student of your belief. The conscience is a student of your belief. The conscience depends on the knowledge you have put in. That's what we have, conscience. Science is science. That's where for knowledge. It's conscience. Then the kind of knowledge you have received is what your conscience reacts to. Your conscience received knowledge. The knowledge you have received is very important if your conscience will become a trusted guide for you to be led by it. Now, God gave us a conscience, but you see, the conscience must be educated by God's word for it to be a trusted guide for you to discern the voice of God. So, all the confusion ends when God's word has come in, because your conscience is now informed. In what formation? Informed. Your conscience is now, it is a trusted guide because it has received knowledge by the word of God. It is educated and trained. Aha. But without, your conscience is a guide. It shows you what is right and what is wrong. It causes you to discern the voice of God. But the word is not in, you will struggle. But once the word is in, your conscience is educated to become a trusted guide for the voice of God. You can tell that this is from God. How can you make such differences? Through the word. Now the word must get into your heart. And it becomes clear. So that when someone prophesies to you, you can tell that this is from God. But you can tell this is not from God. Because anybody can prophesy to you, true or false?
True.
Yeah. A woman of God organized a prayer meeting that God has told her that the wife of a certain man of God is his wife. So he put prayer warriors together to kill the wife of the man of God, so that God's word for her will come to pass. She even organized a wedding prophetically. And in faith, she organized a wedding to marry her supposed husband, which God has spoken of. Not every voice is from God. But when God's word is inside, you know what God is saying. Someone can go and say, empty all your accounts and bring it to me. So, you know, there are many voices in this world. But how do you know which is from God? Because it can be an instruction. It can be from God. At the same time, it cannot be from God. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? Your heart will prove it. Your conscience must be a trusted guide for God's word. Hallelujah. Now, in our inheritances, the next thing I want to talk about is long life. Now, how many of you want to live very long? In Africa, the life expectancy seems to be coming down. Now, people are hoping to live to 60 and 70. Now, knowledge is very important. If I ask you, how many years do you want to live on earth? What will you say? Now, I met a woman, and the woman said 70. Now, the woman was 70 years. So when I met her, I said, Mama, how many years do you want to be on earth? She said 70. And when she said that, all her children were around, they got mad at her. So, "Mom, you want to leave and you have not told us." She was preparing to die at 70. And actually, she was 70 at that time. And I asked why. He said, "The Bible says so." So I sat her down to educate her. I said, "The Bible never said." Yeah, that's why we need precise and accurate knowledge. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. Moses wrote Psalm 90. The Bible is the prayer of Moses. And in verse 10, he said, "The days of our years are 70. That's 70. But if by reason of year of strength there be 80 years, yet is your strength labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off and we fly away." King James says 80 is 80 years. 70 is 20. 70 and 10 is 70 years. Then the next verse, look at what he said in the next verse. "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom." Now, what was Moses saying? Who knoweth the power of your anger? According to your fear, so is thy wrath. You have to interpret the scriptures according to context. Don't take the text from the context. What was the context of Psalm 90? Moses was saying that in the wilderness, they were not given the grace to go beyond 70 and 80. They were dying in the wilderness when Israel was in the wilderness. Why? Because they were under God's wrath. We were full of unbelief and they were under God's wrath. So under God's wrath, they couldn't go beyond 70 and 80. They were dying. That's the context of Psalm 90. The church, we are not under God's wrath. We are under God's grace. So the 70, we have eternal truth and dispensational truth. The 70 was a dispensational truth for those who were under the law. Yeah, because the law worketh wrath. It was for those under the law. But we are not under God's wrath. Because he became the propitiation for our sins.
Yes.
Ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We are under God's grace. So 70 is not my portion. Okay, so how about 120? Because Genesis 6 verse 3, "My spirit will no longer strive with man, seeing that he also is what? Flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So there are those who have gone higher. That listen, it's not 70. We are aiming at 120. But I want to disappoint you. I want to disappoint you also. Because I want you to aim high. Now, bring back the scripture. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Let me show you what it means. At this time, this is when the sons of God, the angels, had come down, and the says that they took women, and they slept with the women, and produced giants, the Nephilims, or the gigantes, giants. And they corrupted the race, the human race. The reason was to destroy the pure Adamite stock. You know, God says that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. So they wanted to damage and corrupt the human race so that the promise it cannot come. So the angels came and corrupted the human race. And the Bible says that only Noah and his family were perfect before God. The word perfect there is not moral perfection. It is physical perfection. Tamim. They were the only ones who were physically perfect because the whole race had been corrupted. And God used Noah to preach. And God says that, listen, the end of all flesh has come. The days of man shall be 120 years. He's not saying man's lifespan will be 120 years. In the Hebrew, he's saying it is left for 120 years and I'll bring judgment upon the earth. He's saying the days that are left for the end, it's 120 years. God gave man 120 years to repent before the judgment of the flood. That's the interpretation. That's the original Hebrew. After 120 years, the flood came. The rain came and destroyed the earth. So how long do you want to live on earth? Let me show you how many years you have to live on earth. Let me show you how many years you can live on earth. The answer is in Psalm 91 verse 16. Psalm 91 verse 16. Look at what it said. With long life will I satisfy him. Now, who is supposed to be satisfied? Is it you or God? You. So it's your satisfaction. So if God is giving you 80, you say, Lord, I'm not really satisfied. God says, how about 90? I say, okay, you increase it a little bit. It's like they bring you dinner. I say, are you satisfied? Oh, no, I'm not satisfied. It is your satisfaction. This is the promise of God's word. So it's not a matter of age span, it's a matter of your satisfaction. Remember, faith coming by hearing. The more you hear these things, the more you can believe for it. A man of God had his siblings call him and said, our mom is dying. The man was dying at 60. So, because of where you are, our mom wants to just say his last words to you before she departs. And truly, she was at a hospital and she was dying. Then this man of God stood up and said, Lord, this is not what you promised me. If you take her, I'll not be happy with you. You know, he had a relationship with God, this kind of fellowship. He knew his rights in redemption. You may think he's proud, but he's not proud. He said, Lord, if you don't do it, I'll not be happy with you. Because this is not what you promised me. And the man of God said, instantly he heard a voice behind him saying, whatever you say, I will do it. And the man of God said, Lord, give her 80 years. So she lived to 80, and on her 80th birthday, on the same week she died. The same week she died. Now, if this man of God never knew his right, the mom, very baby Christian, so that the man of God could carry her mom through his faith. Uh-huh. But without knowing his right, his mom could have died. So you have to know your right. See, I'm not dying. I'm not dying at all. The doctors are saying I'm going to die in 3 years. It's a lie. It's a lie. He says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my
salvation.
Now in the Hebrew it says, and show him my Yeshua. That's the Hebrew. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my Yeshua. Now Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. So literally, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my Jesus. So the reason for long life is to see Jesus more and more. That's the reason for long life. To see Jesus. So long life is yours. Look at Proverbs 3 verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 3 verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. That's the word of God. And look at the promise. The promise of God's word. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. So God's word will add. Now, there's a difference between length of days and long life. Can you see it? So he says you have both. Length of days and long life. You know length of days? Length of days is when, how many hours do we have in a day? 24. Length of days is when God gives you 36 hours in 24 hours. He has stretched your days so that you are able to do more in one what others do in 4 days. That's grace from heaven. Lengthens your days. That kind of impact comes through our dedication to God's word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our next inheritance is peace. Peace. Peace is very important. Peace. Peace is your inheritance. Now, in John 14, verse 27, Jesus' last words to his disciples at the upper room before his arrest in Gethsemane, Jesus said, peace I leave you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, peace I leave you. Leave. Now, the word leave here in the Greek literally means to be quit as an inheritance. To be quit as an inheritance. So Jesus was saying, I give my peace to you as an inheritance. Jesus is saying, I'm willing. I will my peace to you. I bequeath my peace to you. You know the peace Jesus had? He was in the boat. And there were raging storms. And the storms were beating hard against the boat. But he was asleep. He says, my peace I give unto you. So many troubles in your job place, in your office, in your business, problems everywhere, at home and everywhere, yet he can give you peace. He says, my peace. Not as the world gives. To the world, peace is absence of war. But to the church, peace is not absence of war. Peace is the presence of God. Peace. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because what he trusted. Thou wilt keep him in, the Hebrew says, in peace, peace, in double peace. Double peace. In Psalm 119, verse 165, Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So there is great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen. What is worry? Now, how many of you have worried before? There are people who are experts in worrying. There are people who have master's degree in worrying. There are families that are experts in worrying. They are warriors. Warriors. Worry is the absence of peace. How do you know there is no peace? Worry. Most of us don't know how worry can devastate us. The first thing is that worry will destroy the effect of your prayers. Worry will destroy the effect of your prayers. Actually, worry will block your prayers from being answered. Very important to know this when you are praying. You can't be worried praying. You are undoing the effect of your prayers. Because Philippians 4:6 actually said, be careful for nothing. That's King James. It says, don't worry about anything. King James says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be what? Be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep or will garrison your heart and your mind. So he says, don't worry about anything. So he gives us the procedure for prayer. So if you're coming to pray, he said, number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, pray about everything. So you can't keep worry whilst you are praying. He says, put your worry on the altar. Give your burdens to God and pray. And when you are leaving, don't take it back. There are people who come to church, they bring their burdens and put it on the altar. And they cry to God. When church closes, they take their burden and carry. And they go back with their burdens. Yeah. So you are prayerful, but you are worried. Worry can undo your prayer. The effect of your prayers. So don't worry. And the only way you can live without worrying is by the word. Because the word assures your heart. Now look at 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now how many of you want to be exalted? How many of you want to be exalted? He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Then there is colon, the next verse. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now, don't disassociate verse 7 from verse 6. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you. The next verse is showing us how to humble ourselves. Casting all your cares upon him. So when you give all your worries to God, he sees you humble. When you carry all your worries, God calls that pride. When you carry all your worries, he says that is pride. God says, I love you enough, giving your burdens. He says that is humility. And look at the next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, Satan is not all powerful. He can't just do anything to you. He has to seek whom he may devour. There are those who qualify to be devoured. So he has to go around seeking. If he was all powerful, he should stand in one place and no. There are people like us who cannot be devoured. You see, so he has to seek whom he may devour. Context, the one he's seeking to devour is the one with cares and worries. Cares and worries. You become his target. Hallelujah. Now, close your eyes. Say, Lord, I give you my burdens. Begin to pray. Now, whatever is troubling you, whether it is marital problems or financial problems, any kind of burden that is weighing your life down, just give it to God. Say, Lord, I give you my burden. I give you my burden. Whatever is troubling you, whatever is weighing you down, whatever is oppressing you, every molestation and every kind of embarrassment, whatever is weighing you down, he says, he cared for you. Cast it onto him. He will take it. Give it to him right now. Give it to him. Whether it is your relationship, whether it is your finances, whether it is your health, whatever it is, give it to him. Rako prozate legamanto vaga, raprozate legeboza, mazoko prozate legeboya, mazakrasete geboya. Hallelujah. And next to peace is joy. Joy is also your inheritance. Joy. Joy. Do you know that statistically, a while ago it was said that when it comes to depression, the highest rate of depression is now seen among the youth between the ages of 18 and 29. More people are depressed within these ages, 18 to 29. The rate of alcoholism among mothers has increased by 300% because of frustration. Now, I mean, motherhood is not a joke. Yeah. It's a whole ministry on its own, being a homemaker. It's a ministry we must not despise. It's big. So husbands, appreciate your wives who are taking care of your children and making up the home and all of this. Praying mothers are the greatest gifts to the church. Yeah. The suicide rate among teens has increased by 200%. Suicide rate. And the crime rate has also increased by 590%. So obviously, people are not happy. The average person on the road, on the street, is not happy. It's not happy. But you see, a Christian, when you are frowned, when you're not happy, every time you are frowned, you are not happy. Your somber, discouraged face is a poor advertisement of the new creation. Your face is not showing that Christ died. Your face is a poor advertisement of the finished work of Christ. I'm telling you, you must be laughing and smiling. And you cannot fake it. It comes out of revelation. Your celebration is rooted in revelation. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of the heart. So when you eat the word, joy comes from your heart. In John 15 verse 11, Jesus said, these things say I unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. John 15 verse 11. These things say I unto you. What are the things? My word. My word. So when you receive this word, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy might be full. If your joy is full, then it can be half full or quarter full. So there are some people, their joy is quarter full. Others, it is half full. But he wants your joy to be full, totally full. Others are empty. But your joy must be full. Proverbs 17 verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. A broken spirit dried up the bones. Those who have, there's a blessing in being joyful. A merry heart is a joyful heart. It does good like medicine. Those who are always joyful are always healthy.
Amen.
You see, because joy releases endorphins. Endorphins are they are chemicals in the body. And when you are happy, endorphins are released. And endorphins boost up the body's immune system. It boosts up the body's immune system. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it's through the word. It's through the word. But a broken spirit, you know, a broken spirit, depression, despair, dried up the bones. Sicknesses come when the bones are, the drying of the bones is, you see, moisture is taken from the bones. Arthritis is caused by the drying of the bones. There are so many sicknesses that comes by the drying up of the bones. So when you are sad and depressed, your bones are dried up. Why is it that those who are, when you are young, people are, they are stout, but the more they grow, they shrink, they become smallish, because the moisture in their bones are dried up. Yeah, that's aging. So the more you walk in sadness and depression, the moisture in your bones are dried up, because your spirit is broken. Praise God. But we are walking in joy.
Amen.
Yeah. The word of God does miracle to us. Yeah. Yeah. You know, those who have leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood, they are always looking for marrow donation. Because a marrow boosts up the immune system. And I said it earlier, that's where the word of God penetrates.
Mm.
Give yourself to the word and your immune system will be boosted up.
Man.
Yeah. The Bible says that as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bad and bring forth, that it may give bread to the eater and seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And the result is in verse 12 of Isaiah 55. That's it. This is the result. Now, I quoted from verse 10, but the result is this. If God's word comes to you, he says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Think of waking up in the morning and you are just happy. You go to work with joy. Whilst everyone is complaining about the economy and about all the wrong news we are hearing, you are full of joy. That's the word. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. Now the mountains speaks of the nobles in society, the aristocrats. The hills, the common people, they shall break forth before you into singing. That means you become a wonder to all men. Wow! Even the nobles are shocked at your presence. And all the trees of the field shall clap your hands. You know the trees. Deuteronomy 20 verse 19, the last part says that man's life is a tree. The tree is man's life. Yeah. For the tree of the field is man's life. Let's go back. The tree of the field is man's life. So when the Bible says all the trees of the field shall clap your hands, you know what it means. You become a living wonder. When you imagine everyone is clapping, look at this lady, look at this guy. There is none like her. There's none like you. You become a wonder in your workplace, among your coursemates. You are a living wonder. Everyone clap, because whatever you do is excellent. Whatever you do is on point. You are the right place at the right time, saying the right words. Full of wisdom. They are clapping at you to welcome you. The next verse. Now, all of this is a blessing of God's word. From verse 10. He says that, now, not only the joy, he said, instead of thorn shall come up the fair tree. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fair tree. Now, thorns stands for the curse. In Genesis 3 verse 18, when God cursed the earth, thorns and thistles came up. Thorns and thistles. But now he says that, instead of the thorn shall come up the fair tree. What is the fair tree? Now, the fair tree is the cypress tree. The cypress. It's the same as the cypress. The cypress tree is a Christmas tree. The fir tree is a Christmas tree, or the cypress tree. You know, Christmas tree is celebratory. Christmas is a moment of joy. Everyone looks forward to Christmas. So he's saying that instead of being under a curse, you have Christmas every day. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Instead of coming under a curse, the thorn, you will experience Christmas. Every day is full of joy. Every day is full of dancing and jubilation and celebration. You will have Christmas. Christmas every day. Even in the midst of problems, you see hope. Christmas every day. Instead of the thorn, now, in those days, they used the thorn bush to make hedges for the sheep pen. It was used for hedges, for the sheep pen. So if you try to get closer, it hurts. It hurts. Uh-huh. The fir tree, I said, is the cypress tree. Now, the very first mention of the fir tree or the cypress tree is mentioned with David. David was a musician. In the Bible, David invented his own musical instrument. The worship in this ministry is heaven on earth. Yeah, it's heaven on earth. Hallelujah. God bless the worshipers and the singers and the ministers. It's heaven on earth. Now, David invented his own musical instrument. He made his own harp. And the Bible says he made it from the cypress tree or from the fir tree. He made it himself. Now, why, of all trees, why would David make his musical instrument from the fir tree? Because the fir tree or the cypress belongs to what is called a group of trees called the coniferous trees. And it's so unique that it produces a certain distinct sound called the sironial sound. So the fir tree or the cypress tree gives a very unique sound. It's a beautiful sound. So he's saying that instead of the thorn bush, instead of hurting people, your life will be full of melody. Like David's harp. Your life is full of melody. There are people who are always hurting people. You come around and people don't like your presence. But when what comes into your heart, your life is filled with melody. You become music in the ears of people. Then he said, instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. The briar belongs to the nettle trees. Now the briar is poisonous. And when you touch the briar, it's very itchy. You itch your skin the whole day. The briar is poisonous, it is itchy. It belongs to the nettle trees. So he says that when you give yourself to God's word, instead of the briar, will come the myrtle. You know the myrtle? The word myrtle is the same name for Esther, Hadassah. Esther became a star, and she was full of favor. That is Hadassah. So instead of making people uncomfortable, when people come around you, you become like, they feel like eating your bodies. They wish you're not around. Instead of being making people uncomfortable, you become like Esther. You bring deliverance to many. Your life become full of favor.
Amen.
And you bring deliverances to many.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the power of God's word. The last of the inheritance is wisdom. Wisdom. The last of the inheritance is wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is your inheritance. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou, what? Make thy way, what? Successful or prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. He says, thou shalt have good success. Now the word good success is the Hebrew word for wisdom. It's the same word for wisdom. So wisdom is good success. Not every success is good success. See, there are so many successful people around, but we can't call their success good. Yeah. Listen, you may have a lot of money. We can say you are successful with money. There are people with money, a lot of money, but their health is always breaking down. Why will you have money and yet every day your health is breaking down? That's not good success. There are people who are very famous and who are very popular, but they are not at peace at home. All their relationships are breaking down. Their family life is shattered. We can't call that good success. Now, good success is all-around success. There are those who have become very powerful, influential, lot of money, but they have no time with God. They have no time to come to church. That is not good success. But when your blessing comes from God, and when you have wisdom from the word, it will give you good success, all-round success. You are wealthy, yet you are peaceful. Yet you are healthy. Yet you have perfect relationship with God.
Yes.
You are in church, serving in the church fruitfully. Perfect relationship with your spouses. All-round success. That is your portion this week in Jesus' name.
I receive.
Yeah. Wisdom. Wisdom. God's word will give you good success. Good success. Good success. Good success. All right. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, look at what Paul told Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, why did Paul say this? This is a conclusion of what he began in verse 1. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. You understand the context of this from verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now we are in the last days, in the perilous times. Perilous means dangerous times shall come. Okay. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara? The madman of Gadara. The Bible says he was exceedingly fierce. Yeah, the word exceeding fierce. You couldn't go around him. It's the same word perilous here in the Greek. So the last days will be demonic era. It will be, the era will become exceeding fierce. And let's see what will happen. Now, this is what this is our time. This is what where we find ourselves in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is it happening? Now, the word lovers of their own selves is the Greek word philotos. It has strange meaning. A strange meaning. Meaning philotos actually means men will have romantic feelings for their own selves. Philotos is someone who is trying to kiss himself. Selfishness. Men will love their own selves, that there will be no loyalty to God again, no loyalty to families, no loyalty to church or to your pastor. Men are going to be loyal to their own selves. What makes them happy, what makes them fine. That's what is going to happen in the last days. The second thing is covetous. It's philagoros. It's love of money. But philagoros is someone who has money, but heaps it on himself and will never give to others. If he will give, he will just give what is not sufficient. So people have money in the last days, but they will never give to help. They will never give to God. They will never give to church. They will never give to help others. Everything is on themselves. But Colossians 3 verse 5 says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. The next thing is boasters. The word boasters here is not just ordinarily boasting. The word is alazon, which is the word for situational ethics. It will happen in the last days. It is happening. Alazon is someone who overstretched the truth. He seeks for his own promotion so much that he decides to overstretch the truth. Even if he compromises his conscience or convictions, he doesn't care. All that he wants is the promotion. So he doesn't care what he has to go through to get that job. He doesn't care what he has to do for that promotion. Whether he has to compromise or overstretch the truth, we call that situational ethics. So, yeah. So people are doing all sorts of things to get money and to get promotion. That's the word boasters. So many things. Let's just go to the next verse because of time. Without natural affection. Now this is very dangerous. Without natural affection. The word is astogos. Now, the word stego is the word for family. But ah is a negation of stego. That means there will be no devotion to family life. That means the family ties will be disintegrated. So in the last days, the kind of unity and the bondness families had will not be there. So there will be no commitment to family life, no devotion to family. The family ties are, and in foreign countries, people have multiple jobs. Now, when we were young, we all come together and watch one television. But now there's television in every room. Now, you see family members sitting together and everyone is on his phone. So we have neighborhood without brotherhood. Yeah, or we have a community without communion. So there is no that kind of boldness. The family life is, our mothers are here, our fathers are here, they can tell us. Years ago, the family life was more solid than the present day, true of us. And that leads to the next one, truce breakers. Truce breakers, actually, is the word for breaking the marital covenant. Yeah. So because of no family devotion, the marital covenant will be broken in the last days. So Paul was prophesying the rampant outbreak of divorces in the last days. It's going to happen. Then the spices of those who are good. This is a legal term. It's a court term. The spices of those who are good. It's a legal term. In the last days, the court system will be used to defend offenders. The court system is going to be used to promote the welfare of offenders instead of those who are good. Yeah, it's happening, right? All these things are happening. Now, Paul spoke of 30 moral blemishes that will happen in the last days. It's happening. But what is the way out? Verse 15. What is the way out? And from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto soteria. Now, the word salvation here is not talking about escape from hell. No. Soteria actually means deliverance, provision, protection. It's an all-encompassing word. So the scripture is able to make you wise for your deliverance. It's able to make you wise for your provision. It's able to make you wise for your preservation. How can you be preserved in this, the world of extreme decadence and all that is happening? How can you walk the path of God? The word. Hallelujah. The word. You can escape all of this corruption through the word. Now in Leviticus 11, there's something there. God told Moses that God separated the clean animals from the unclean animals. He says, if a fish in the sea, if a fish has fins and scales, it is clean. But if a fish does not have fins and scales, in Leviticus 11, it is unclean. That's amazing. It is written for us. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. Okay. You must be a fish with fins. You know, if you look at the sea has rushing currents. It has a lot of waves. It comes rushing. Little fishes are able to stand against the rushing current and go against it because of their fins. But without their fins, they are carried about. They are carried along with the rushing current. All the rushing current in this present world and all that is trending and all the forces of darkness and what is happening in our world, how can you stand against it? You need a spiritual fins to stand against the tidal wave that is coming in this world. Praise God.
Man.
And it says, finally, if the fish has scales, it is clean. You know, the sea is salty, true or false. But if you catch a live fish, the fish is not salty. But if the fish is dead, the dead fish is salty. That's a mystery. Once the fish is alive, it is not salty. But once the fish dies in the sea, it is salty. The reason the fish is in the sea, but it's never salty, is because it has scales. It has scales. My brother, my sister, the word of God will give you scales. So that wherever you are in the midst of the world. You are in the midst of corruption, but you will never be corrupted.
Amen.
Because see, God is sending us to diverse places, powerful places, but he sends you there as his ambassador.
Amen.
As his representative.
Amen.
And you must not be corrupted in a corrupt environment. And how can you be uncorrupted in a corrupt environment? The word. Lift up your voice and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word. Samandola. Now, I want you to lift up your voice and pray. Leba Shambala, give me things and give me skills in this world. Things and the word will give you things and skills. Things and skills. Whatever you have learned tonight, whatever you have learned tonight, convert it to prayer. Rabba Shambala Batali, Shambala, Shambala, Shambala. Shambala. Come on, we have few minutes to pray to have you back. Rebbe Shambala, Rebbe Shambala, Rebbe Shambala, Rebbe Shambala, Rebbe Shambala.
Lift up your voice. The word is having effect. The word. The word. Your inheritance. Your inheritance. Your joy. Your peace. Your joy. Your peace. Your health. Wisdom in this world. Long life. Long life. All that Christ has for you. Rama Chandra Samba Tai. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. The wisdom of God is here. The word of God is here. The breath of God is here. The power of God is here. Come on, stir up your inward embers. Thank you.